It is a Saturday. Some clouds, a little breezy, humidity in the air. All in all, a pretty pleasant day. Sunday looks gorgeous in these parts. Here we are in the middle of July, and we're going to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
My back hurts, Steve, from catching fish today.
Oh, no. They were jumping in the boat, huh?
Well, it's an Advil afternoon for me. It was a pretty good morning. We were using what's called a drop shot rig this morning, which is kind of a newfangled fishing type, you know, technique, which is basically a very small tungsten weight, about an eighth ounce, and then you rise up about 2 feet and put a swivel hook on the line. So what this does is it goes through the water column, and that bait, whatever it is, a minnow, a plastic, or whatever, is a couple of feet off the bottom and kind of elevated. And, boy, that worked well today and caught some really big crappies. It was really a good day. It was overcast. We had some wind. It was really just the perfect day. But this drop shot thing is quite a technique. Instead of, you know, dragging something on the bottom, this keeps that bait up elevated and, you know, very visible. So working really well right now, especially this week.
Yeah, and Steve, here we are, traditionally the dog days when things can really slow down, particularly on the walleye bite.
You know, Steve, it has. You know, today was really an outstanding day, but a couple of days ago it wasn't so great, and the day before it was really slow, and there's no doubt things, you know, are very tough at this time of the year. That's why I'm switching lakes a lot. You know, when I get on a lake and don't do well, I don't go back. I just keep prospecting, looking for new water, and I've got very lucky today getting on a lake that I've only been on a couple of times, found the fish right away. But yeah, you got to keep prospecting. It's just like sales. You just got to keep looking and looking for new water. And I was down in Grant County, which is a little bit farther than I normally go, but some of the lakes up there, you know, in the North Country just haven't been very good right now, and the weed growth has really gone crazy. But what's really weird is the water temperatures have dropped 5 degrees this week. Instead of going up, and they were like 78, 79, now they're down 72, 73. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons fishing has been kind of tough, because that's a really significant drop. Plus, we're competing with a lot of food. There's all kinds of bait fish. You can see them on your electronics. They're suspended about right in the middle of the water column, and there's just tons of these little, you know, pods of bait fish that are maybe an inch or 2 inches long that were just born. And, you know, so it's tough. There's a lot of food out there right now, so we're competing with all that.
Yeah, and Steve, I started seeing the billboards, game fair is coming. Hard to believe how quick it goes.
That means 100-degree temperatures. Whenever I see those ads, it means 100 degrees or 10 inches of rain up to your ankles. It's one or the other. But, yeah, it's coming probably in 3 weeks or so, so we're looking forward to that. But that's a good time, you know. Then we start getting into the hunting mode, and, you know, we're going to be having the dove opener before you know it, September 1, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, which is kind of the kickoff, and bow hunting a couple weeks after that. So, yeah, starting to look at the duck broods out there. You're starting to see mom with 8 or 9 little, you know, chicks running around. So it looked like there was a decent hatch. Saw some pheasants on the roadside this morning. That's good. So, yeah, so far so good. We'll have to see. But, you know, with all the corn up right now, it's really tough to know what's really going on. But the corn isn't even tasseling yet, too. That's another thing. I'm kind of surprised. It should be by now.
Yeah, and Steve, I was going to say, as far as fishing goes, you know, it's just one of those where, you know, kind of keep plugging away, because I would assume you're still pretty booked with groups that, you know, you got a lot of people that want to get out there, and it becomes, you know, you really got to dig deep in your book of tricks to put people on fish.
Well, you know, it keeps me up at night, Steve.
Yeah,
you
know, that's right.
It's just, it's like, it's, you know, the tough days of July and August, and it's like people will go, where are we going to go? I don't know where we're going to go. I know where not to go, but, yeah. You know, it's a challenge, and You know, way more difficult than May and June was probably the best 2 months I've had in a long time. May and June were awesome. But, you know, when you get into July and August, it is a struggle. And September can be a struggle. But once October hits and November hits, then it really gets going. So we just got to kind of suffer through this downtime, and it'll get better. You just do the best you can.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. Pretty good crappie bite this morning. That is good news. He didn't send me any photos. And by the way, our Outdoors coverage continues on Sunday. But I think tomorrow could be a challenge with that Twins Rockies tilt out in Denver. I don't know if we're going to get the Outdoor News show with Rob Dreisein in tomorrow. We're going to have to confirm that. But typically, on a Sunday, our Outdoors coverage continues on Sundays between 5 and 6 with Rob Dreisein from the Outdoor News. And it's going to be tough. We got a 2:10 first pitch in Colorado with the Rockies and with the post-game show. Maybe get part of it in. But once again, typically on Sunday afternoons at 5, the Outdoor News with Rob. A lot of great guests. Tons of great info. It is 4:13. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to preview the 3M Open coming to the TPC of the Twin Cities. Of course, the final major of the year for the men is underway at the Open at Royal Portrush. And some of the top players in the world will be here starting tournament play next Thursday. And Mike Welch, tournament director, joins in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Twins in Colorado to play the Rockies tonight. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with the lineup card. Actually, we'll have Twins stuff before. Phil Miller's going to join us from Denver at about 6:10. We'll have a sneak peek at the lineup tonight. And Zebby returns. He was brought up from the minor leagues. His rehab assignment's over. So Zebby Matthews on the mound tonight for the Twins as they try and bounce back. Colorado, big lead. They jumped out to a 5-0 lead, ended up winning it 6-4 in game one of the three-game set. Then it's on to L.A. Twins return home, and will take on the Nats at Target Field in their first homestand post-All-Star break. Another big event coming to town next week, and that is the 3M Open at the TPC of the Twin Cities. The annual PGA Tour stop is almost here. Right now, the final major of the year at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, as Scottie Scheffler will take a lead into the final round. Scottie's world, and everybody's living in it. We're pleased to be joined by Mike Welch, tournament director of the 3M Open. Mike, good to visit with you.
Hi, Steve. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Scotty's playing well. Wow.
Oh, man. We were just talking about it in the office. You know, like, he just doesn't make enough mistakes for you to come back on him. I would be so shocked if there was anybody that got close to him tomorrow. He is playing at a different level right now.
Yeah, it is really impressive. Scotty is certainly the world number one and the dominant player in golf. It is very impressive. Once again, Scheffler at 14 under, 4-shot lead over Lee Fitzpatrick, 5 back. McIlroy, Gutterup, English, Hatton, all 6 back. So Scotty in command heading into the final round of the Open. And I was in for Henry Lake earlier in the week, and Mike, you were good enough to join me on the show. And you had mentioned you were kind of waiting for the cut at the Open to see if any other players committed to the 3M Open. With things winding down on the PGA Tour and FedEx Cup points at a premium, let's talk about some of those new commitments. I know a big name is coming to town.
Yeah, Adam Scott. So, you know, speaking of that, I think, you know, what's one of the benefits of being right after the Open Championship, Steve, is that if a guy misses the cut, you know, he misses the cut at about 10 a.m., 11 a.m. our time. He has until 4 to enter our tournament, and that's what happened with Adam Scott and a few others. And I think, you know, that's great for our market, especially folks that have followed golf for a long time and know how great of a guy and player Adam Scott is. He's popular with a certain demo as well, and so that's always great too. So we're really excited to have Adam here.
Yeah, and Adam Scott, just pure class, well thought of in the game, and should have big galleries following him all week.
We will. I mean, you know, he's just one of 64 players out of the top 125 in the official world golf ranking that are coming to the 3M Open. And, you know, I think, again, we've talked about this before, but, you know, Adam's been around for so long, but then you got new upcoming stars like Chris Goddard, who won last week at the Genesis Scottish Open, and we gave a sponsor exemption to just 3 short years ago, and now he's won twice on tour. He's up to 38th in the FedEx Cup point standings. He's playing very well this weekend as well, and you know, I would have to say that he's one of the favorites going in, and so that's the benefit of having a very, very strong deep field, the deepest field we've ever had, is that there is a host of players that can absolutely come out on top and win this thing.
Yeah, Mike, one of the things we didn't bring up Wednesday night, I was kind of kicking myself for not bringing it up, is players with local ties. And I know there are sponsor exemptions, et cetera. What about that? I would assume there's players with local ties coming to the 3M Open.
Absolutely. Frankie Sappen, yep. Who is obviously local. We gave Frankie a sponsor exemption a couple of years ago. He finished second down at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans earlier in the year. We're super excited to have him. He'll have big crowds here. Eric Van Rooyen, who played at the University of Minnesota. Tom Hoagie, who he's from Fargo, but obviously played a lot of junior golf in Minnesota. Troy Merritt, who is a Spring Lake Park grad and, you know, played here for a number of years. He's been in our tournament 3-4 times. We're giving him a sponsor exemption. He's been playing very well of late. And then we have 2 more sponsor exemptions left to give, Steve. Because our field is so deep, we're at a point right now where we're between categories, and we have to see where the field shakes out because of anybody who finishes top 10 in the Open Championship or finishes top 10 at the Barracuda that's happening out at Lake Tahoe. They have the ability to get into our tournament, and so we truly can't finalize our exemptions until that happens. So it's a very unique year, but it's one problem that we love to have because the field is so deep. And so we do have a couple locals in mind if we get those sponsor exemptions back in the unrestricted category. So we'll probably be able to announce that Sunday night.
And I'm sure you've taken a look at the weather, and the weather looks pretty solid. I mean, in this part of the world, there's always a chance of thunderstorms, and I know you're certainly prepared for that, but the weather does look good, and it doesn't look like we have a major heat wave, so it should be very comfortable for the folks that come out to the TPC of the Twin Cities.
Yeah, it does look great. I mean, I think meteorologists, you know, just to be safe, they always put a 20 to 40% chance right. of rain, right? I think that's what I would do. But no, I mean, I'm sitting right now out in the Northwoods, right off of Golfers Left on hole 18. And, you know, if it gets to be 82, 83 degrees in the middle of the day, you know, you got a ton of trees that you can find some shade in here. But yes, we're very encouraged by what the weather forecast looks like.
Yeah, and Mike, another thing I wanted to bring up is preparing for an event like this. It is to get all of the facilities set up on the golf course, that it doesn't happen overnight.
Oh my goodness. I mean, we start the build, Steve, on May 10th. So about 11 weeks prior to when the 3M Open actually starts. We're still constructing right now. You can probably hear something in the background. I mean, it's amazing how long this takes to build it. It depends on incredible vendor partners that we've used for years and are such great partners of ours. 1,645 volunteers this year for the 3M Open, which is the most we've ever had. Yes, it takes an army to put this thing together that will ultimately deliver about $55 million of economic impact to this region. So we're super grateful for those relationships and looking forward to having a great week next week.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the golf course. Anybody who's out there knows it is a risk-reward 18 is about as good as it gets as far as risk reward goes, even for the best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, with water on 13 of the 18 holes, and I've said this for years, if your game is in really good shape, you have a chance to score very well here. But if you're not feeling 100% confident, it's not a great course to be on, because one little, you know, error, you're in the water and you're staring at double bogey. But 18, you know, hole 18, as you referenced, is such a fantastic finishing hole. You know, if you're down by two, you have a chance to eagle to tie it up. If you're up by two, like Cameron Champ was a few years ago, and you're feeling really good, well, then you hook it left into the crap over here, and then now you're staring at double bogey. And, you know, people think when the wind is blowing in, it makes the hole tougher. I would argue that when the wind is with you, it's really tough because it pushes that drive to the water on the right. And so every morning we wake up, we're like, okay, where's the wind coming? And we're hopeful that on Sunday, if it's windy, that that wind is blowing behind, because we're certainly going to see some high scores. About two years ago, that hole alone on one day yielded 88 balls in the water, which has been the most on any single hole on any given day in PGA Tour history. And that was awesome to see for the fans.
Yeah, for sure. It does create a lot of excitement. Mike Welch joining us. He is the tournament director of the 3M Open. Fun starts on Tuesday in Blaine. Tournament play on Thursday. And, Mike, here's the biggie. How do people get on the grounds? How do they find tickets? And there's a wide range of tickets still available.
Yeah, there is. You can just go to 3MOpen.com. There's a big buy tickets button that you can click on. And then to your point, you know, there's about six different products that start at a fan pass that, you know, if you're a MasterCard holder, it's $55 for day. It's $65 for the general public. We have elevated options above that. So if you want, you know, a few beverages and a food item, we have the Compass Pass. We have, you know, air conditioned shared hospitality. If you want to treat some folks and come out that day, we have the Stilly Party Deck, which is on hole 18, and it's a vibe. There's a ton of music, great food, yard games, sun and fun. So again, we're very particular and very purposeful around what type of ticket products we offer. And again, there's something for everyone, and especially if you're a family. You know, kids 15 and under are free, courtesy of Cub, and that is just very rare in sports these days. So again, if you're like me and you have a family of six, it can get pretty expensive to come to a sporting event. But here at the 3M Open, if your kids are 15 or under, it's not as obtrusive as a number.
Parking's a breeze. Shuttle to the tournament site is really easy as well. It is a well-oiled machine, so to speak.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Steve. Thanks. You just park right at National Sports Center, get on the shuttle, take the six-minute ride to the front gates of the 3M Open, and then you're right there where everything is, up in Fan Village, up in Northwoods, right at the main gate. You got everything you need within a good Scotty Scheffler three-wood right there.
Yeah, and the other thing I brought up earlier in the week, and we should bring up today, the PGA Tour is as much as any sport delivers to charities. In every town they visit, every tournament, there's a big charity component, and that is something to be very proud of.
Yeah, honestly, it's why the 11 of us who work on the 3M Open, you know, every day each year, it's why we do it. I mean, we're going to be fortunate enough to give upwards of $1 million to 20 or so charities this year. And as you mentioned, it's the PGA Tour's model. All 46 events on the PGA Tour schedule give back to charities. The PGA Tour in whole has given over $4.6 billion since its inception. And so it is really the lifeblood of what the PGA Tour does. And so for us, we're happy to support great charities like First Tee Minnesota and Greater Twin Cities United Way and M Health Fairview Masonic Children's Hospital, just to name a few. And the things that they do with our dollars and the impact are just so amazing to see. They're great organizations, and it helps us to positively impact about 1 million youth since we started this in 2019. So that's just so awesome.
Well, Mike, always good to visit with you, and great news on Adam Scott. Once again, 3M Open next week. The fun begins on Tuesday. And then, of course, tournament play starts on Thursday. It should be a great show.
Steve, we appreciate the time and just the coverage. Appreciate you guys.
All right, there he is, Mike Welch, 3M Open Tournament Director, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Once again, that website, 3MOpen.com. It is a good time out there. And, you know, I've played golf and played golf since I was a kid. And whenever I've had an opportunity to go, whether it was the seniors when the Champions Tour was out there, and even before that out at Bunker Hills in Coon Rapids, or when majors have come to town like Hazeltine, the U.S. Women's Open was at Interlaken a number of years ago and is coming back to Interlaken later in the decade. I love to watch tournament play. But if you want to appreciate, Lindsay, how good these men and women are that play it at the highest level, go to the practice tee and watch them just kind of get ready for a round, it's amazing.
Well, and watch them take up ground as every good swing does, just a little bit. It's, you know, just a posted stamp of removal every single cut. And then we'll just move over to this area because too much has been taken over here. It's fascinating to watch them on the driving range, even on the putting greens. I remember heading down to Hazeltine when the Ryder Cup was here and watching Rory putt just as he was warming up for his round. I saw one swing of golf that day, and it was a Dustin Johnson tee off. Otherwise, it was really hard to just get a look at these people. So I think you get way more fan experience watching them practice versus watching them actually play. Because it's hard to attend a golf tournament, let alone one that's a limited grouping like the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and the Ryder Cup comes back to Hazeltine end of the decade as well. It is 4:32. 28 minutes now in front of 5 o'clock. We'll have the weather momentarily. And then a big story that broke in the Star Tribune, getting a lot of coverage. We talked about it with Shaletta. Aaron Adler of the Star Tribune did a very thorough story. The headline, "You slap students with a $200 fee to help athletics budget as U starts paying athletes." The U still faces a nearly $9 million athletics budget deficit. What's going on? What's wrong with big-time college sports? Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. First of all, a tip of the cap to Aaron Adler of the Minnesota Star Tribune, writing the story, "You slap students with a $200 fee to help athletics budget as U starts paying athletes." So it's $100 per semester. And in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of money when you talk about tuition, fees, books. If you live on campus, room and board. If you live at home, you still have to commute, pay to park. I did that years ago as a student at the U. It's a nightmare to commute and try and find parking at the U. Maybe it's changed. I highly doubt it. But nevertheless, it is expensive to go to college, whether it's a U or a public school or let alone a private school or go out of state. College is expensive. But here's my beef, and we touched on it with Shaletta. You're charging a fee to help the athletics department when in reality the athletics department is throwing money around like they don't have it. There is a $9 million budget shortfall at the U, and it's safe to assume that this is being repeated all over the country. Now you have the football factories like Ohio State and Alabama and Michigan and those other schools that maybe don't have budget problems, and they are flush with cash. But I'm sure the vast majority of schools are in this similar situation, trying to find money to pay coaches, trying to find money to constantly upgrade facilities to attract athletes. And now, in this modern era, in many sports, particularly football, men's basketball, women's basketball, at some schools, you could probably throw volleyball or men's hockey into that. But there is more money flowing toward the athletes themselves. Don't have a complaint about that. But when you're trying to hit up the average undergrad or grad student to say, "You need to kick in and help us fund our athletic department," that stinks. And Lindsay, you played college sports.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come in on this? This to me just seems crazy. And I love sports.
I do too. I definitely have a less rosy outlook on it because I've seen a little bit too much of the business behind sports.
Sure.
And the thing that I've noticed about just the current temperature, I guess maybe it's the current attentiveness, is that it commands everything from you. Whether you're watching the NFL, whether you're watching the NHL, whether you're watching the WNBA, they want your eyeballs for as long as humanly possible. And it's not necessarily to grow their product. It's to make sure that they can show advertisers that your eyeballs are there and we can make that money. We can prove that we can generate that money. And I say this as an only child, as a goalie, as someone who holds themselves in very high regard, it's not about us, the athletes. Like, our world is so focused on this business, this particular business, whether it's the fact that it represents us, represents something to us. There's just too much commanded for, from, in benefit of athletics. And I really don't think there's as much money as people think there are, or that they're reporting on it. Because if there was, they wouldn't be doing stuff like this, Steve.
Well, and I go back to the football factories or the hoops factories that have the blue blood programs that have, you know, long, deep traditions and well-heeled boosters willing to throw unlimited amounts of money, or stadiums of 100,000 plus and sponsorships and all of that sort of stuff. Here at the University of Minnesota, and it's a great example, is they try and close a $9 million a year budget gap, and now are asking your undergrad, every undergrad, to kick in $100 a semester to support the facilities, when in reality the budget as a whole is used to pay athletes, but more importantly, pay coaches beyond that. And I think that's something that deserves to be discussed in all of this.
Yes.
And I'm not picking in particular on PJ Fleck, but he is the highest paid coach at the University of Minnesota, and it seems as though almost on an annual basis, PJ Fleck's getting more money.
Extension time. We got to give him another 10 mil, right?
Right. And
make him feel comfortable,
say,
that we love him.
Well, that is what the market bears. Well, wait a minute. Clearly the market doesn't bear that because the university can't afford it. So while you shell out more money almost on an annual basis to keep PJ Fleck around and his $6 million, and then there's retention bonuses. And then, once again, the defenders will say, well, that's a price of poker to keep a top notch. And then you have assistant coaches that are coordinators making $1 million plus a year. And who am I to say? But at some point, does PJ Fleck ever just say, you know, we're good. We can get by on our $5 million a year. Look, the U's struggling, but that never happens. The football coach and the men's basketball coach and all the other coaches that make all this money, they're never willing to turn down the money for the good of the program whatsoever. And, you know, people are going to say, well, you know, I just think it's wrong that the student-athletes – are getting to wet their beak, and it's kind of like, yeah, you have no idea how much money flows through these schools and flows through these programs with television money and ticket revenue and revenue sharing and all of that. It is a river of money, and at some point, this system is unsustainable.
It's going to break, Steve. And we have to remember the origins of this country, its society, the way that we look at things, our attitudes, is based on being built by unpaid labor or maintained by unpaid labor. That is a core part
or
of our story.
Labor.
Yeah, or cheap labor, depreciated labor, underserved labor, whatever exploitation is at the basis of all this. And the minute that we start saying, hey, maybe these people that have been exploited for so long, they're going to get a little something out of it, too. Well, now the budget isn't there. Now the money isn't there. Well, there seemed to be no ceiling 10 minutes ago. There seemed to be no oversight 10 minutes ago. And that's where we're in this soup now, Steve, where there's no sort of governing body. The NCAA might as well have dentures that are in a cup somewhere that got lost, right? There's no teeth there. The people that call the shots are the heads of these universities and the heads of these conferences. And with that, if something is growing without oversight, Steve, it's cancerous. That is cancer, right? Our bodies kill off something that's growing too much, too fast. That is what is happening within this market, within this business, and just within our society, Steve.
Yeah, and I would love to get people's feedback. Circling around to this fee, is it proper to be in this situation. And once again, I'm not blaming the athletes. I'm blaming a system that finds a way to spend every nickel and more and then demand more beyond that. When does it stop? And in this case, you know, when does that $100 a semester fee become $200 or $300? Because it's so important that we have a successful football program or we have a good men's basketball program. It seems insane to me, and I'd love to get your feedback on it. Maybe you don't think it's a big deal. 651-461-9226. And this gets into another topic. And pro sports teams constantly extorting public money to upgrade facilities that are ultimately used to line their pockets. Things are getting crazy. 651-461-9226. This student fee, another example. Your thoughts here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Story in the Star Tribune, you slap students with a $200 fee, $100 per semester, to help athletics budget. They still have millions in shortfalls at the U, and we put it out there. What do you think about it? Here's a really good text. I'm a U of M grad. This happened while I was in college. I would have transferred out. I paid my own way in college. Never went to any games. It wasn't in my budget. Never used the barn, Mariucci, or at that time football was played at the Dome while I was in college. Why should I support their cause beyond my student service fee? This will decrease enrollment. Another one. What came first, the high school or the football team? In 1866, did the public pay for school or a sports program? And in reality, it is college. It is university. And the mission is to educate people. And sports can be a part of that experience. But I think it's become a mission, a big business. And how is this sustainable when the university is constantly trying to keep up with Ohio State or Alabama or Michigan or these other programs? It's just a never-ending arms race. Another great text. Lindsay, I hope they let you stay around. You're a breath of fresh air. I know you've been at CCO a while. Hearing you voice your opinion is great. Long-time listener. I agree. Bravo, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As an only child, I appreciate your compliment.
I'm one of three.
Oldest, middle, or youngest?
And the oldest.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So you take care of your business. No wonder you're going biking on a Sunday. You've got your whole list done. The family's taking care of you. You have all this free time to carve out for yourself. You should see the disaster that is my house right now, Steve. I'm a type B person.
You got to take care of business. You got to get that list done. Haven't they said for years that the sports program made money? I haven't really heard that. I think they're always trying to figure out how to pay the coaches, how to stay competitive, how to build new facilities. And they have gorgeous facilities at the U. It is a never-ending arms race. And here we are in 2025. Now they're hitting up students and saying we're going to need to find more money. And we need people to sponsor this collective. And we need businesses to step up. It's never-ending. It's constantly feeding the beast, Lindsay.
We're in the wrong race, Steve.
Well, it's not sustainable.
Mm-mm.
And the pro sports model, in my opinion, is not sustainable.
Shocked considering the erosion we're witnessing in the actual reasoning for the universities and why they exist? Like, degrees mean less and less, not because your education isn't valuable. It's something that nobody can ever take away from you, but it doesn't equate to jobs and money, right? Well, that's being eroded away from a bit during that. And then we're just talking about reality and information and what's facts and what's not. Like, that's eroding away. These things are just becoming sports hubs that also have some books.
Yeah. News and weather in a moment.